My name is Michelle Overy and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 24th of August 2009 and the time is now 9:31 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
My name is Julian Vane. I'm 40 years old and I come from North Devon.
Did you come in from Devon last night?
I came in from Devon on Saturday.
And what are you doing while you're...
I was staying with some friends and preparing basically for today.
Can you tell me what you're wearing, please?
Yes, I'm wearing a t-shirt that says, "What would Baphomet do?" Which is kind of a bit of a gag based on what would Jesus do, and indeed what would Richard Dawkins do. Baphomet is originally the mythic creature that the Knights Templar were accused of worshipping. The Templar Church is just down on the Strand, so it's partly sort of a nod to that. But it's also that Baphomet is the horned god of paganism, or the horned deity of paganism. It's both male and female combined. And it's the life force of the universe.
Why have you chosen to represent?
I thought it would be kind of nice to do that, to bring the spirit of the wildwood into what is the heart of London in many respects. The spirit of chaos, the spirit of life, the spirit of the pagan island in many respects that we're on. And I'm doing it partly to raise the profile of the Boscastle Museum of Witchcraft.
Where is that?
Boscastle's in Cornwall. It's a beautiful little village down on the Cornish coast, on the North Cornish coast. The museum itself is quite a world-class organisation. It's the biggest collection of witchcraft and magical-related objects and documentation in the world. It's used by academic researchers, and of course lots of tourists go there, so it's quite a prestigious organisation. It needs a new roof, so I'm trying to also encourage people to visit their website, click on the bit that says donate, and help get a new roof to house this fantastic collection.
What's the website?
The website is museumofwitchcraft.com.
How did you first become interested in paganism and in witchcraft?
It's one of those things that I've always been interested in, really, right from being very, very young, and had the fortunate experience of meeting lots of pagans, getting involved with doing all kinds of different sort of ritual work and a variety of different sort of spiritual practices, if you like. But paganism is one of those traditions that where fun is very much seen as part of it. So partly what I'm doing today is, if you like, a ceremony, but it's not a big kind of po-faced exercise. It should hopefully be quite entertaining.
Can you tell me a little bit more about what you're going to do during the hour?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to place on the plinth a thing which is an axis mundi. So it's a pillar that represents the centre of the world. It's the world column, if you like. We're obviously near Nelson's column, so that seemed appropriate. It's got a spiral around it, which signifies DNA. Paganism, I think, as a spiritual tradition, sees God or the goddess or the divine as implicit in the world. It's not something that stands outside of the world creating it. It's something that's in the world and it's in us. So I should be placing the axis mundi on the plinth. I shall be garlanding it with some ivy. I shall be making this a sort of a powerful space. And then I shall be invoking this spirit of the wildwood, Baphomet, who's rather like Pan, I suppose, is the best way of describing it.
Could you tell me some of the props that you brought along?
Yeah, we're quite prop heavy today. So we have some banners to put out on the plinth, pointing people towards the Witchcraft Museum. Then obviously we've got the Axis Mundi itself, and all the various garlands and things that go along with that. I think I might have some bubbles lurking around somewhere, because bubbles are quite fun, and bubbles are nice, and pretty, and fractal, and all kinds of cool things like that, so I'm looking forward to doing those. And I have the Baphomet costume as well.
Could you describe that for me?
The Baphomet costume consists of furry trousers, because it is half goat. It consists of a breastplate, which has six breasts on it, because it's male and female combined. It consists of wings, because this is a creature which is of the earth and also of the air, and it consists of a horned mask.
Can you remember how you first heard about this project?
Yes, I can. It's all the fault of the archers, in fact. I was listening to the broadcast where Linda Snell was trying to encourage Jill Archer to go up on the roof of, I think, a shed because she wasn't able to get up onto the plinth itself, and there was a discussion in Ambridge as to whether or not you could go on the back of a flatbed truck or similar. And I thought, the plinth, I vaguely heard about this. I'll visit the website. Oh, I'll sign up. And then I had a phone call which came saying, it's about your slot on the plinth. And because I work for the museum service, I was thinking, the plinth, maybe there's a museum organisation or an arts organisation called the plinth. Do I know this? And when I went back home and received the email, I realised, oh, it's the plinth, the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square. Fantastic. And then, of course, I had to come up with a ruse as to what I was going to do for my hour.
What was it about this project that appealed to you, do you think?
I think something that Andrew Gormley said, which was that it was a really interesting exercise in doing a little bit of sort of anthropology, taking a cross-section of the British population, exposing them to this public space and saying, you know, what are you going to do for this time? And so in my case, it was natural that I would look at paganism, I would look at my role within museums. As I say, I'm one of the charitable trustees of the Friends of the Boscastle Museum of Witchcraft. So I wanted to do something for them, and I think it's a fantastic idea. It fits in with a lot of the other work that Gormley's done, as far as I understand it, which is about accessibility. Working in the museum service, one of the important things about a museum is an accessible place. It's a place where we store important stuff, sure, but unless people can get access to that important stuff, to learn, to be inspired, for fun, ain't no point having it. So the accessibility of the project appealed as well.
Do you think museums have changed a lot?
I think they've changed hugely over the last few years. I think that rather than being small c conservative institutions where they were, people were very understandably protective about their collections, people are much more interested in the educational side of what a museum does, and much more aware of the fact that unless museums as a whole provide access, good access to their collections for all kinds of people, they will fold. It's as simple as that. Museums are very, very rich. They are repository of things that our culture considers important. And there are all sorts of different things our culture considers important. But that importance is only related to people's ability to engage with those things.
How do you feel about your interview? You being preserved, in a sense?
Oh, it's fine. It's digital preservation. So as a historian, I'm somewhat nervous of digital preservation. But in as much as a puff of a delete, you know, the delete button is hit there and suddenly it's all gone. But nevertheless, I think it's fantastic. I think that, you know, the digital revolution is great because it does mean that accessibility, communication, transfer of information really happens very fast. It's very good. The fact that this is going out through the internet, as well as being locally present here in Trafalgar Square, is fantastic, and I'm very happy to be part of that.
Do you know anybody else that's applied?
I don't believe I do. No, I don't believe I do. Obviously, I've visited the website and had a look at the one another site and been perusing what people have been up to. Hopefully, getting some pointers and finding out things about, you know, the size of the plinth and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know of anyone else who's a participant, no. Maybe it'd be nice to get us all together for a party at some stage.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your role in the museum service?
Yeah, certainly. I actually work as an education officer for the North Devon Museum Service. And so my role is about engagement. It's about trying to get people generally, it tends to be younger people, tends to be children, but also we work with older people as well, to get them to engage with their heritage, to understand it, to celebrate it. And so my role sees me doing all sorts of things, from going out collecting oral history from elderly people who can tell me about how things were, you know, in the 1950s, through to people who can who are 7 years of age, and you know, if I take a floppy disk to them, it's a strange and unusual object that they've never seen before. So it's quite a diverse role, and it's fabulous. It's a lovely organisation to work for.
Did you always want to work in a museum and collection?
I think I probably did in many respects. I'm lucky in as much as now I have a professional background in the subject, but didn't originally when I was hired. I actually came from working in a law firm where I was doing IT project management. So it was quite a change from that perspective. I've got a background in sort of education and teaching and so on as well, which is part of the reason, I think, for being hired. And I think that that's, again, indicative of the change in the museum world, which is that rather than just having lots of people who are, if you like, banner headline curators, there's an understanding that you need a wider base of skills in there to make sure that museums are engaging, you know, across the community.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
I grew up in Hertfordshire. I grew up in a little town called Stevenage, just north of London. So that's where I grew up, although I spent most of my time one way or another down in the West Country, both in Bristol and more recently in North Devon. Although while I was working for the law firm, that was in Brighton.
And what prompted the move to Devon?
To raise my children, basically. Brighton's fantastic, great fun, marvellous. But in terms of having access, as I now have, to the beach, the moorlands, the forest, the river systems and just the fantastic natural environment that North Devon provides, for me it's perfect.
What do your family and friends think about you taking part?
They're very excited. I suspect that lots of them will be watching my antics over the internet. They've been very supportive, very excited about the whole thing. I know that there are a number of people who've come along today to support me, which is good. There's a couple of people from the Witchcraft Museum who I think will be milling around, maybe handing out a few leaflets, just generally talking to anyone who wants to find out more while I'm doing my stuff.
Just going back to something you mentioned earlier, what was the building on the Strand that you were talking about?
There's the Temple Bar itself, and there are various Templar churches around the UK. The Knights Templar were an organisation who famously fell foul of the French monarchy back in the 1300s. As I say, they were accused of worshipping Baphomet, which they almost certainly weren't. But Baphomet has become one of those kind of cultural icons. It's been associated with the rebel, it's been associated with the devil, and it's also been associated with this chaotic volcanic life force, the power of living things, which is tremendous. One of the things that I will be doing today is actually throwing some seeds down from the plinth, so bringing the power of, you know, the DNA that animates us, that animates the biosphere, that animates the place where we live, here into the heart of the urban centre.
How would you describe yourself as an individual?
I can't remember what I put on the website. I think I said intelligent, curious and bonkers, which is probably sort of fairly right. I do have a habit of doing these sorts of things and putting myself down for, oh, I'll do that, and then going, oh, right, so I have to do it now. So I just have to steel myself and get on with it, I guess.
Tell a bit more about how paganism actually fits into your daily life.
I suppose... Paganism fits into my daily life in the sense that, as a spiritual tradition, as a spiritual practice, it's very modern. I mean, paganism, although it draws a lot of its iconography from, hundreds of years ago, or indeed from prehistoric times, it's a very modern set of beliefs. It's about seeing the world as imbued with the divine, if you like. As opposed to it being something separate from that. It fits into my daily life in as much as it's a recognition of my place within the whole of the biology of the world. So it's about the celebration of birth, it's the celebration of sex, it's the celebration of death, it's the celebration of our humanity. And in the character of Baphomet, you have this hybrid creature, which is human and animal and bird, and it's seeing those things as sort of intermeshed. So I can talk about, I celebrate things like the traditional sort of seasonal festivals, so things like May Day and Halloween and that sort of stuff, But it's, as with anyone who's got a sort of spiritual practice, it runs through all things, really, in many respects.
Is there a lot of pagan activity in Devon?
There's some in Devon, probably more in London, I would imagine, just by dint of numbers, really. It's hard to estimate how many pagans there are in the country. There have been various bits of research done. Certainly in Devon, they probably outnumber lots of other religious minorities. They may not outnumber Buddhists in Devon, of which there are quite a lot, but they probably outnumber Jews, and they probably outnumber Muslims in Devon. So you know, we're talking a reasonable number of people.
Have you got a favourite object at the Museum of Witchcraft?
I've got a favourite object at the Museum of Witchcraft. There's several that I really, really like. I think that one of the ones that really appeals is kind of connected with today. There's a Baphomet-type costume, so again, a sort of a horned headdress, this time terribly elaborate with robes and things, which is quite impressive. And there are lots of little objects, little charms that people have woven over the years, things that have been collected from hundreds of years ago, spells to help people in, women in childbirth, healing spells, that sort of stuff, cursing spells, all kinds of things. And it's a very good way of looking into, what concerns humans. When humans resort to a practice like magic, for example, you can tell that whatever they're intent on is pretty important to them. And so if you go to the Witchcraft Museum, or indeed to something like the Pitt Rivers collection in Oxford, you will see these tiny little moments encapsulated in the objects. So they might be, a spell to have one's cow healed, or a spell to ease one's wife's childbirth, for example. Little moments of humanity where we touch upon the divine.
How old are your children?
My children are seven and three.
They know you're taking part.
Yes, they do.
Are they excited?
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Are you looking forward to getting up there now?
Yeah, I think so. Practical stuff, put the banners up, put the gaffer tape on, make sure it all sticks, try not to drop anything in the net, see if I can get the headdress on while dressed up in the comedy costume, that kind of thing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.